Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Talking perspective, the Kobe Bryant, Gigi Bryant memorial today in Los Angeles. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Some of you are familiar with his story. He covers Oregon. He covers recruiting. He covers basketball. He covers football. He talks some barbecue. It was, I believe, about a year ago that Matt Prehm had a terrible accident on the freeway, and he joined us on the show. It was a year or two ago. And he's joining us now. Was that 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah. And you, the other day we were on the phone, you said, hey, today's the anniversary of that.
Yeah, yeah. February 13th, 5:15 in the afternoon.
You remember the time?
Yeah, I'll never forget. I don't remember it. I don't remember the actual accident, but I have the call log and memorized in my head of when the police called my family members because I was not in a condition to call people.
Did, for people who don't know, you were driving in Eugene on a section of the highway there. Where were you and what happened? Even though you don't remember, you know now.
Yeah, I was northbound picking up both my boys from my in-law's house. They go over on one day a week to their house after school, and my wife usually does it, but she couldn't do it, so I went and picked them up, and we were heading home, and we were on the northbound Delta Highway trying to get onto the interchange to get onto Beltline to head east towards to our house, and we were stopped just because it's normal five rush hour traffic, and someone hit us from behind full speed.
Now, I remember the aftermath of the accident. Your son was in a tough condition, and I know that you came on the show, too, and talked about it, and so many people talked about it, but I see the photos of him shooting baskets in the driveway, and I smile every time I see that on social media.
100%. Yeah, he 100%. Plays basketball on a team right now every Saturday morning. Sometimes as early as 9:30 in the morning, sometimes in the afternoon, we go to a gym and we watch him play.
And he was in a condition, I mean, the injuries that he had, was it a fractured neck?
It's the layman's terms of what he suffered. He suffered a lot of things. He had a brain hemorrhage. He had a rib, have to be part of his rib placed onto his neck on a spinal cord. His spinal injury was, in the layman terms, it's called internal decapitation. What that means is all the muscles attached to in your neck that are attached to your spine have been torn off, and your head is essentially a bobblehead. It's not attached to anything.
It's just it's heartbreaking, and I'm, you know, when you said that the other day, I just, you know, I know we talk sports and stuff. I just thought there's so many people who listen to this show who are familiar with your work, and here you come on, and, you know, they knew of the accident. I'm glad he's doing well now. Everybody's well. You're recovered. You know, the takeaways, people are struggling today as the Kobe Memorial is going on to say, all right, what is the takeaway? What was the takeaway for you that day?
Be thankful for the time that you have, because it could literally be gone in an instant. That's one of many that I've had. Spending more time with my kids afterwards was another one. And now I, one that I've picked up from that is even though I was not on my phone, I get extremely angry whenever I see on social media someone driving on the car and in the car and in one hand they've got their phone on and they're doing some kind of video. It's not even texting. It's literally a video.
Yeah.
And I just hope that, you know, if anyone's out there listening, like, don't do that, because you may not hit somebody today, you may not hit somebody tomorrow, but if you do hit somebody, you could kill them. And if you don't kill them, you're going to severely impact the rest of that person's life, potentially. I mean, that's, my son's going to have stuff that he will be dealing with for the rest of his life. And he's going to turn 9 years old in April. And it's unfair for him to have to deal with that because someone wasn't paying attention. So put your phone down.
Put your phone down. I think that's so powerful. Matt Prem, 24/7 Sports, is with us. I appreciate you sharing that. I know that we talk about sports. We talk about Peyton Pritchard and Justin Herbert and Sabrina Ionescu. And I don't know if you saw Sabrina's comments this morning as part of.
I watched it.
What did you think of Sabrina?
Pretty moving. I mean, I think she can be successful in anything that she does in life. She's so poised and so smart and is successful in just anything she did. What she did today was is pretty powerful stuff. And now she's on a plane, I'm assuming right now, going to Palo Alto to play in a game that's number 3 against number 4. I mean, I don't know how anyone can be emotionally prepared to give a speech like that at a memorial for her idol, her mentor, or her friend, and then go play a game that's so pivotal for her and her team's goals. I mean, if they lose, they're tied with Stanford in the conference race. So it's not like it's a throwaway game. I mean, this is maybe the biggest game of the year for them.
Matt Prem, 24/7 Sports, with us. They have this feel, that women's basketball team has this feel of a team that knows it belongs, knows that if they take care of their business, they'll be in the Final Four and they'll be a contender. Am I wrong to expect them to be there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, my coworker and I, Eric Scope, we record a podcast every Monday morning, and we ended it with a little bit of previewing of tonight's game. And I asked him the question, since he's kind of our everyday beat writer for the team, of, I posed this question, are you going to be more surprised if they don't blow Stanford out or if this game is close? Because I watched that game on Friday night at California on the TV with my kids, and I understand Cal's not good and whatnot, but you can just see, like, teams that are championship-level teams, it doesn't matter who they're playing. They are going to destroy you. And Oregon had that look, and the way they played, it was just like, there was no letdown. There was no, hey, we're up 30 points in the second half against a team with a losing record. Let's kind of coast. No, they were treating it like it was Oregon versus Stanford with the Pac-12 championship on the line. I think that's the type of DNA that teams are talking, you know, about acquiring. Like, you know, Cristobal always hears about building that championship DNA for the football team. And he's talking about that Oregon women's basketball DNA. You know, and there's many other examples of it, but that's what you're looking for. And when I watch Oregon, it's like, as long as they're focused like that, they're going to make the Final Four, because they have the talent, they have the chemistry, and most importantly, they've got the player in Sabrina who's just not going to let up until she gets what she wants. She wants the title.
Matt Prem, 24/7 Sports, with us. Peyton Pritchard, we've talked about him before. There are still people out there who don't believe he'll stick in the NBA. It baffles me. What do you make of Pritchard as an NBA talent?
He's an NBA player. I mean, I watched Arizona's head coach Sean Miller's press conference after that game last weekend, and he was 100% trolling NBA draft mock guy, because the NBA draft is all about potential and what's to come in 2 or 3 or 4 years out of a guy that you draft. And oftentimes we see players who are ready to go right now and can contribute to an NBA team, either fall out of the first round or get picked late in the first, or sometimes don't even get picked just because they're 22 and they're maxed out and they're not going to they're not going to have these leaps and bounds in 3 or 4 years. And you don't know if that guy is going to get to that level where he can play it, you know, at a high level when he's 18 or 19. And I look at Pritchard and do I think he's going to be an NBA starter? No, I don't. Do I think he can contribute on an NBA team? 100% next year as a rookie. And it wouldn't surprise me if he finds his way. I mean, just looking at his track record and his work ethic, that maybe he gets a shot with some team as a starter down the road in the NBA. I don't think it's going to happen, but are you going to doubt him if, you know, to at least try and get there? I mean, Arizona threw big guys at him in terms of guards. You know, Dylan Smith's like 6'6", long wingspanned guy, super athletic. He couldn't stop him. They put Josh Green on him. He's a lottery pick. That's another small forward type guy. He couldn't guard him. Nico Mannion, who everyone going into the year said was the best point guard in the conference, another, you know, potential first round draft pick because he's a young guy, you know, and he, you know, Pritchard cooked him. And it's like the dude scored 38 points against three different players on Arizona's team who were all bigger and considered better athletes than him. And I think at some point you just have to say he's going to make it. And this year was all about showing the NBA that he can play at a high level through an entire season. And he's done that. And I think he's made himself a lot of money.
Talking to Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. I reached out to NBA GM this morning, Eastern Conference GM. He told me, quote, he's getting drafted, take it to the bank, end quote. I think, you know, they know he, and I was looking at the draft too, you know, last year's draft, only three of the first 19 players picked were over the age of 21. Everybody picking that speculative, hey, what could he be? What could he develop into? Nobody over the age of 22 in the first 19 players. However, at the 20th pick in the draft, Matt, you get Washington's defensive guard, Matisse Thybulle, who goes, he's 22. Yeah. The very next pick, Gonzaga's Brandon Clark, also 22, gets picked. Now, in the 20 to 30 range of the first round, half of those players were over 21. It was really interesting to see teams suddenly pivot at about that point of the draft.
They're also the teams that are in the playoffs. And they're getting the guys that are ready-made players. I mean, I argue that in today's NBA, where guys who are, you know, seventh man on the bench and they're making $9, $10, $12 million, seventh man in the rotation, excuse me, a year. And if you can draft a guy that, you know, hey, we're going to get 15, 18 minutes per game out of him. He's going to be solid. He's not going to be a complete liability, but he's probably not going to be a superstar, but you never know. But he can at least be out there on the court and be productive for 18 minutes a night. And, oh, we only have to pay him $2 million a year? Like, sign me up. I think that's where a lot of the value in the draft is going to move to, is until the NBA updates their salaries for draft picks, because those guys make pennies on the dollar for what you have to pay for someone else that can get that type of quality. So, I mean, yeah, Pritchard, I think Pritchard, my comp for Peyton Pritchard is Jalen Brunson, a guy that played at Villanova for 3 years, won a national championship, was a national player of the year. He's very similar in stature of Pritchard, 6'2". And you look at the way he plays, you know, can score in the mid range, can score on threes, can score on layups, really good assist to turnover ratio, and a very solid defender. I think that's Peyton Pritchard. He's currently the backup point guard for the Dallas Mavericks.
I agree with you. I think that's sort of where he fits in the NBA, and I think we'll see that in June. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Before I cut you loose, I got a call from Indianapolis, one of the sports columnists at one of the Indianapolis papers called me and started asking me about Justin Herbert. He says the Colts love Herbert. That would be a nice place for him.
Yeah, if I'm Herbert, I want to fly. I don't want to go, you know, third, fourth, fifth. I mean, I know there's, you know, monetary differences in that. And I know that, you know, there's more prestige in going there, but I want to go to a franchise that knows how to win, has a history of winning, and at the same time, doesn't necessarily need him to play right away. I mean, the Colts have a quarterback. I mean, it's not a superstar. He's not a superstar guy, and he's on a 1-year deal. So they can bring Herbert along for a year and then throw him out next season when that contract is up. And the Colts have, they have history. They're run by a good organization, management team, and they've got pieces there. They've got a good running back. T.Y. Hilton's one of the best receivers in the NFL. So yeah, if the Colts are looking at Herbert, and I'm Herbert, sign me up. That's a great place to go. I don't want to go to a Miami. I don't want to go to a Cincinnati or a Cleveland. I don't want to go to a Tennessee. Some of these franchises are just proverbial losers, and I don't want to go there. And if he's having to be thrust into a situation where play right away, week one, and you need to carry us and get us to a championship, he's not going to succeed at that, I don't think. But if you give him a year to adjust and learn the system and play with talent and be in a franchise where the culture is winning and every year they win, he's gonna be fine, and he's gonna have a really good career.
I like that as well, because he gets a chance to sit behind Jacoby Brissett. He gets to play indoors. He's not going to a garbage fire of a franchise, and it's about as good as you're going to do with where he's projected. Because my fear is, along with the Marcus Mariota, Joey Harrington, Achilles Smith, David Carr, I've seen these guys go high and just get lost.
Yeah. Well, part of it, Harrington dealt with this, and Marcus certainly dealt with this as well. And to a point, both those guys also had faults that they just couldn't overcome, and that has to be taken into account. But a common denominator for both those guys, and for Baker Mayfield at Cleveland, and you go down the list of quarterbacks that are struggling in the first round, they have constant change. And there's always a new head coach, or there's always a new offensive coordinator and a new offense that you have to learn. And I just go back to any sport, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever. There seems to always be 10 to 15 teams in every league that win. And there's always 5 to 7 teams in every league that are always the loser. And they always lose. They just, for whatever reason, the owner doesn't get in the way, or the owner does get in the way of their team's success. And, Herbert wants to go to one of those teams that it's just, hey, we had injuries. We had some free agents depart we weren't planning on, but 14 out of the last 20 years, we've had a winning record. I want to go to someplace like that. And instead of a team that's just always picking in the first round in the high spots, which are, the Browns, the Dolphins,
same old, same old.
The Lions.
Yeah.
They're just terrible.
All right. Matt, I got to get going. I appreciate your time. Thank you for all of this, and we'll be thinking about your son.
Hey, appreciate it, John.
All right. There's Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Leave it here. Coming up, Peter Jacobson will be joining us to talk golf, in particular Patrick Reed, a scandal in golf, a scandal with Major League Baseball. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, all of that. We'll talk about ethics in sports with Peter Jacobson. He's always funny, always a good storyteller. He'll bring the heat, is what I'm saying.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.